The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For Hetrei Iska, loans and collections, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Yama, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, the Gemara relates a famous anecdote of Hillel HaZaken, Shebechol Yom V'Yom Haya Oseh U'Mistaker B'Trepak. Every day he would work and earn a trepak, a small coin. Chetziv hayanosei l'sharon beis medrash. Half he would give to the guard of the beis medrash to gain admission. The chetziv l'parnasaso l'parnasas anshei beiso. The other half he would use to support himself and his family. Pam achas l'matzel histaker. Once he was unable to earn even that coin. V'lohinicho sharon beis medrash likanis. They were quite strict. The guard would not allow him entry. Hillel HaZaken. Olav Anitla V'yashval Piyaruba, undaunted, he climbed to the roof, sat on the skylight, Kadesh Yishma Divrei Elokim Chayim, in order to hear Torah. Mipi Shmaya V'Avtalion, from the mouth of Shmaya and Avtalion, the two Gedolei Hadar, Amru, Oto Hayom, that day, Erev Shabbos Haya, Utzkufas Teves Haysa, it was in the heart of winter, very cold, Yardel of Shelag Min HaShemayim, it snowed heavily. Kishala Muda Shachar, at daybreak, Amrul Shmaya Avtalion. Shmaya asked Avtalion, Avtalion Achi, my brother Avtalion, B'chol Yom Habayis Meir, every day during the day, the house, Beit Medrash, is illuminated. Hayom Afel, today it's dark. Shema Yom Hamununanhu. Perhaps it's a cloudy, dark day. Heititwainan Varo, Dmus Adram Baruba. They glanced up at the skylight and they saw the outline, the form of a human figure in the skylight. Alu, Matual Avrum, Shalosh Amasheleg. They ascended, they found three amas of snow had piled up on Hillel. Parkuhu, Rashi explains, they cleared off the snow from on top of Hillel. Hirchituhu, they washed him. Sichuhu, Hoshivu Knegin HaMadura, they sat him down in front of the fire to thaw him out, to warm him up. Amru, Roi Zel, Chala B'sa Shabbos. This is an opportune context to discuss the halacha of eavesdropping. Now, most of our discussion will not actually apply to Hillel HaZaken, who was not trying to overhear secret, sensitive, delicate, personal information that could cause harm to the people having the conversation. Nevertheless, we'll discuss the halacha, the sugya of eavesdropping. Our discussion will comprise two parts. The remainder of this lecture will discuss the application of the concept of hezek ri'ah. The Gemara talks about the harm caused by being able to gaze, stare at the private affairs of another. A follow-up lecture will discuss the application of the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom against reading the correspondence of others. Neither of these sugyas actually appears anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. And, however, eavesdropping itself is not discussed anywhere in the early postum until pretty much the 20th century. All discussion of eavesdropping is rooted basically in these two sugyas. That's all we have. So in the remainder of this lecture, we'll discuss the idea of hezek ri'ah and its extension to hezek shmia, its application to eavesdropping. So there are exactly two sources that discuss the possible extension of the idea of hezek ri'ah to hezek shmia. The Meiri, in his Beis HaBechira, commentary to Bava Basra, right at the beginning, the sugya of hezek ri'ah, and a tshuva of Rabbi Yom Mizrachi, the Re'em. The Meiri says, Kol shenistalek hezek ri'ah holchen achar minhag. The context of the Gemara is the requirement to build a fence to separate the properties of two adjoining neighbors. And the concern is hezek ri'ah, that one, each neighbor will be able to see into the property of another and observe his private affairs. The Gemara discusses what type of fence is required. Meiri explains, as long as the fence is sufficient to avoid hezek ri'ah, that's fine. V'afim mechitza kala shebekalas, even the thinnest, flimsiest fence. V'ein choshen lehezek shmi'a klal. We are completely unconcerned with the possibility of hezek shmia, the possibility that our neighbor will overhear the conversation of his neighbor. We are unconcerned with the possibility of sound penetrating the flimsy fence. Why? People in general are careful to avoid speaking in such a way that they can be overheard by their neighbors. Tshuva of Rabbi Yom Mizrachi. Also discussing building a thin, non-soundproof fence, Rabbi Yom Mizrachi says in his Tshuvas the Menches, "V'ein taina me'ashmiyah shoshomen zel lezeh." We are not concerned with the possibility of each overhearing the other. Halo Ashkechan Bekulo Talmuda Hezekiah Gavna. Nowhere do we find in the Talmud concern of such a Hezek. So these are the only two sources on this topic. I say this not out of any great confidence in my own Bekiyot, but because all the poskim, the early poskim, the contemporary poskim who discussed Hezek Shmiah, none of them have found any other source other than this Beis HaBechira of the Meiri and this Tshuva of the Re'eim. Neither is brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Re'eim is brought by Rabbi Yaakov Castro in his Erech Lechem, Tachoshim Mishpat, Timon Kufnan Dalad, and the Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Kivager, Timon Kufnan Dalad. Meiri is brought by contemporary poskim. No other source is brought, either by the earlier Achronim, nor by the contemporary poskim. This is all we have. Now, both the Meiri and the Re'eim both say, lahalacha, that we are not concerned with Hezek Shmiah, and therefore even a flimsy fence is sufficient to divide the adjoining properties of neighbors. However, there is a significant difference in how they express their shitas. The Meiri says, the reason we are not choshesh klal is because stam b'nei adam nitarim b'diburim heim. People are ordinarily careful to avoid speaking in such a way that they would be overheard. The Re'eim says flatly, lo ashkam b'kul tamud hezekiah gavna. We simply don't find such a hezek. Are these two rulings consistent or inconsistent? The Meiri implies that in principle we are concerned about Hezek Shmiah, just that people are ordinarily careful. The Re'eim says, well, ashkam b'kul tamud, no such thing. If they disagree, how do we paskin? And in any event, what are the implications of these rulings for our context of deliberate eavesdropping? Both the Meiri and the Re'eim are not discussing someone who deliberately, consciously sets out to eavesdrop. They're just discussing whether there's an obligation to erect a soundproof fence, and they both say no. What would they say about eavesdropping? Now, I have seen a contemporary scholar who has argued that the Ikar LaHalacha is the Re'eim, because it's brought by the Erech Lechem and Enrique Vager, and the Re'eim is seems to imply that lo ashram mikul tamuda, that there is no iser, no extension of hezek riyah to hezek shmiah. However, the consensus of other poskim of our generation that I have seen is not like this. The consensus is that deliberate eavesdropping is definitely usur for various reasons, including the idea of hezek shmiah. They argue that even the Re'eim agrees that deliberate eavesdropping is usur. We have first the Pitzchei Choshen, great classic of Choshen Mishpat by Rabbi Yaakov Yeshaya Bloy. He says, V'nira, da'af ha-re'eim lo amar el ha-shein tofen lasis m'chitza mishim hezek ri'ah. The Re'eim, again, is just talking about building a fence. That, he says, well, ashram mikul talmuda, the Gemara was not, did not require neighbors to build soundproof fences. Aval, osro l'hakshim ha-shekver medaber, to deliberately attempt to overhear, to eavesdrop on the conversation of another, even the Re'eim agrees that's osro. And so on. Mikolshkin, he says, G'nai ha-dover, laman me'achare kosel, it's disgraceful, it's inappropriate to stand, to sneak around behind a wall, u'l'hakshir mashim medabrim, even the Re'eim agrees that that is usur. The Emek HaMishpat, Rav Yaakov Avram Cohen of Bnei Brak, in his classic work on his Kishchenim, he also says, v'ashkafa rishona, it seems that the Meiri and the Mizrahi disagree, if there's an issur at all of Hezek Shmiah. Meiri says in principle yes, the Re'eim seems to say in principle no. However, he says, la'achari'ion, and he uses language much stronger, more colorful, much more emphatic than Rabloi, la'achari'ion nira barer d'vadai u'pashur, there's no question, he says, absolutely, v'shagam l'mizrahi ika hezek shmiah, to deliberately overhear the conversation of another is absolutely usur, just like hezek ri'ah. And he brings, the poskim have given four reasons, four rationales for the issur of hezek ri'ah. Ayin hara, lishna bisha, lashon hara. Apparently it's considered lashon hara, even if you don't relay the secret to somebody else, the bad thing to somebody else, even learning the bad thing by deliberately overhearing is a problem of lashon bisha, by gazing into someone's affairs, and Rabbi Cohen extends this to eavesdropping, tzniusa, a violation of modesty norms, menias ishtamshus, by you gazing into someone's property, you're inhibiting his free and full enjoyment of his property. Those are the four reasons we find in the posting for Hezek Ri'ah. Nira Barri says, it seems perfectly clear, the Gamba Hezek Shmiah, Ikal Kalpan Machashashus. The same reasons apply to Hezek Shmiah, Lishna Bisha, Tzniusa, Pashut, he says, the inhibition of his enjoyment of his property also applies. He can't freely use his property if he knows that people are eavesdropping or gazing upon him. Hadavar Bar Vigali Viadua, the same exact reasons apply to Hezek Shmiah, he says. That's the clear implication of the Meiri, he says, and even the Re'eim agrees. He says it's unreasonable to say he would disagree with this. It seems so compelling in Svara, he says. And then he goes off on a tangent, a diatribe against those who Pasasam is Pachas, it's a plague, he says, that has infected even our camp, Gamma Machanenu. Some people, he said, enjoy listening to their friends with all kinds of scannerim, that's scanners in English, Umachshirei Titut, eavesdropping devices, or perhaps through wireless telephones, he says, Telefonim Al-Khutiyim, Machshirei Babysitter, I guess that's a baby monitor. Through the Pilei HaTechnologia, through the wonders of technology, it's quite easy, Kali Kalis, to do this, to eavesdrop, to overhear another conversation. Some people do it for commercial reasons, to learn about their competitive intelligence, to learn about their competitor's secrets. Or Sami says, Anashim Holchei Batel, people who are idle and bored, Mishuama Mimbalaz, bored people who just enjoy eavesdropping to entertain themselves. It's an Ister Gomri says, it's like Mazik, Lishnabisha, Tniusa, Meniat Ishtamshus. It's Oster, exactly like Hezekriya, with all of the stringency of the Shulchan Aruch. Another thing he says, Partim Lekodei Mechas Machshev, those who break into the codes of computers, Alechol Magar Meida Chasi, protected stores of information, databases, Hanikroim Hakarim, Hackers Banglit, Avonim Chomer, it's a terrible listener. Similarly, in the Sefer Binat HaShidduch, by a student of Yitzchak Zilberstein, he quotes Yitzchak Zilberstein as forbidding such things. He brings in the Eri, that in principle has a Shmiya as Usher. So it's an Avera, just. Ordinarily, there's no expectation of privacy, so there's no reason not to eavesdrop because he's probably not discussing anything private. But if you're eavesdropping on the telephone or some situation where he does have an expectation of privacy, and you're eavesdropping, that's Usher. He brings another tshuva of Rav Zilberstein. Are you allowed to even sell eavesdropping devices? He says, usually, the people who acquire such spying equipment are those who are professional secret stealers, either sodot mitzchariyim v'tasi atiyim, either commercial or industrial secrets, legalos tfunos ne'azog mitzvachim, private detectives who are trying to uncover dirty laundry in marital disputes in order to testify in Beis Din. Are you allowed to sell such equipment? And again, Rav Zilberstein says that eavesdropping, deliberate eavesdropping, is usher. He brings the idea of Hezekriya, and he says, Kishem sha'aster l'stakel beis chavero, just as it is prohibited to gaze into someone else's house, and someone who does so is over el bizrayu de gezel, it's a form of gezel, kach aster l'hazin l'zvarav, it is similarly prohibited to listen, to deliberately eavesdrop, even if there's no hefted, even if you won't cause any actual damage, it's aster. Certainly if you do cause damage to his parnasa. And he concludes, l'chein ha'azana l'divri ha'zulas asura, deliberately eavesdropping is prohibited, whether it's l'shem sakranut, out of idle curiosity, certainly if you're trying to actually discover his secrets. So it's absolutely aster. Similarly, there's a tshuva in the Shevet HaKahasi, Rav Shammai Kahas Gross, cited in a paper of Nachum Rockover on secrets and eavesdropping in general. The Shevet HaKahasi was also asked, as a person allowed to even possess Machshir HaZana HaNikra scanner, some sort of scanner, I guess an electronic device for eavesdropping on electronic communication. Shevet HaKahasi is appalled that somebody would even ask such a question. Min haroi haya shlola hashiv klal al shelo zu. I really shouldn't even be answering such a question. He says, Pashru baru sha'asir lahachsik b'machzor nugget as kol gidra tnias. To maintain, to possess such a device which violates all the rules of tnias. He says, however, he says, similar to the Amik HaMishpat, also in it, he says that there apparently is a pirtz binyan that people do seem to be utilizing these things. People buy these scanners. Therefore, I'm going to write a number of reasons why this is Oscar. The first, he's concerned about tnius and nivel peh, he says. A person may hear intimate marital conversations. No one's allowed to hear such things. He may hear dvarim ha'asurim v'nivel peh, uttered by people who are not on such a high spiritual stature. Hearing nivel peh is a bad thing. Listening to such conversations disturb the brain and the heart. And he says he heard personally someone testify to him that he once listened to a telephone conversation for several minutes through some sort of eavesdropping device, and he related to me that in these few minutes he heard all kinds of dvarim hasurim v'nivel peh, and he henceforth undertook that he would never use this device to eavesdrop on conversation. He quotes several other sources. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Shevet HaKahasi does, the Asur L'Estakel Batzakov Amasav Shel Chavero. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav is not discussing eavesdropping on a verbal conversation, but he says he's discussing really Hezekriya. You're not allowed to gaze into the affairs of another, even if there's no Hezekiah. If a person is engaged in the quiet enjoyment of his own property, im osa adam asaka v'beis over reshuso, asur l'rosa shlomi dato, it is prohibited from gazing, from staring at him without his knowledge, without his permission. Maybe he doesn't want people to know his personal affairs, what we call privacy. Another passage in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it violates tnius for one person to know about the affairs of another. Therefore, Shevet HaKatzi concludes, it is Oster Lahazin L'Sicha Telephone Shalacherim. It is prohibited to eavesdrop on the telephone conversation of others. Danan Sadeh Sha'af Echad Eina Chafit Sheyedu Midvarav Shadivar Betzina. There's an assumption. People have an expectation and a desire of privacy. Nobody wants his personal conversations to be overheard. Then he brings a Pele Yoetz. Kama Mehagnus V'Hadofi. It's disgraceful and it's totally incorrect. Isura, it's actually Oster, Magia al Osim, Machatim, Machapsim, Leda, Sod Acher, those who strive and seek to learn the secrets of others, Ide Shmuach or Akosel, either by what we call listening at keyholes, by approaching from behind a wall, or Psichas Igaros. He says explicitly that Shmuach or Akosel, listening from behind walls, is absolutely Oster. Rav Gross goes on, there can be Churva, Vesina, Vektata, Eish lahavas hamachlokas ola lein marpe, can lead to all kinds of social turmoil. Machlokas, shomer nafsher yirchak mikalela, tovas, this is all still the Pelayoites, tovas Hashem kalote eila, v'ashrei tnimei derach. So Rav Gross concludes, asur la'adam lahachtik v'reshuso l'shtamish machsher hazana, you're not allowed to possess, to maintain in your possession such equipment, you're not allowed to use it, even someone else's, and he concludes on a positive note. The one positive aspect of such equipment is that a person can learn Musar Haskel through eavesdropping devices. He can glean the understanding that there's an Ayin Roa and an Ozen Shomas to everything he does, and that is the only legitimate use of such technological devices. Some posts can discuss whether eavesdropping is permitted for a toeles, if there's some constructive purpose to stop somebody from sin, but in general, these posts can all agree that eavesdropping for idle purposes, to improperly learn secrets, certainly if you're going to cause harm, if there's commercial or industrial espionage, that is absolutely usher, and it is analogous to hezekriya, and the various reasons the posts were given for hezekriya apply to hezek shmiya. And even though the Ra'im says la'ashkan klal, some posts can explicitly say that that is limited to the obligation to build a wall. There's no obligation to build a soundproof wall, but a deliberate attempt to overhear secret conversations or any conversations which by default are assumed to have an expectation of privacy is absolutely usher. In the follow-up share for Daf Lamed Ches, we shall discuss the Poskim's application, or lack thereof, of the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom against reading someone else's mail and the related Isurim that come up in that context to eavesdropping on verbal conversations.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.